to thank Pastor Ben, first of all, for believing in me. And I want to thank all of the other lay preachers who have gone before me. It was really inspirational to hear each of your stories. I have had a number of experiences with public speaking. I have spoken in classrooms teaching elementary school children about disability awareness. So I don't really consider myself nervous. However, no matter how many times you've done something, there's always the chance that out of left field, fear will sneak up on you. And fear has its place. It can warn us to be cautious when we might be in a dangerous situation. However, fear can also cause us to have doubt, to doubt ourselves, to doubt each other, and to doubt God. And when Pastor Ben first asked me to be one of his sabbatical preachers, I have to admit, I agreed without really thinking about it and what I was actually getting into. You see, it was not a good time for me. Just a few weeks earlier, my cat, who for 7 years had been my constant companion and my little guardian angel, and truly more like my child and my pet, had suddenly and dramatically passed away. And I was beyond devastated. I was grieving, I was in agony, and my faith felt shaken. Why had this happened to me? So I prayed to God and asked Him to help me draw closer to Him once again. So when Pastor Ben offered me the chance to speak to all of you today, it felt like the obvious answer to my prayer, and I was excited to take it. But then I read the passages I'd been assigned and cue in the anxiety. I thought, what on earth does some guy being made king or some other guy hiding away money have to do with me? And what was that going to have to do with anyone else? I struggled over the texts, desperate to find some shred of meaning that would be able to relate to all of us in 2024 California. And honestly, the stress of coming up with just the right message and the fear of failing to do so was debilitating at times. I don't mind admitting to you that I wound up in tears more than once. And as I burrowed deeper into my own pit of self-doubt, I started questioning Pastor Ben for choosing me. I've only met a member of Faith Lutheran for a little less than 2 years. I have not read the Bible cover to cover. I'm not active in any ministry programs. I'm not even here most Sundays because I live in another town and I like to sleep. So my thinking was, what in the world made Pastor Ben think that this was something I could or even should be doing? I was grateful, but very confused. So I begged God to be with me, to show me the message that He wanted me to share, and to give me the words that He wanted me to speak. But when I felt like I couldn't feel His presence and couldn't hear His voice, I started doubting Him too. Less than 2 weeks ago, I still didn't have a sermon written. I had lots of ideas, a handful of notes, and a headache. But I didn't have a concrete plan on what I was going to do with any of that. I wanted so badly to please God, to be a good and faithful sermon. I wanted to honor my commitment to Pastor Ben. And if there was even one person in the congregation who might need to hear what I had to say, I knew that I wanted to show up for that one person. And yet, the temptation was strong to call Pastor Carl and admit defeat. I was consumed by my fear of failing. I doubted everyone and everything, and I did not believe that I had anything of value to give. But today, in our gospel reading, we hear about three servants who were each given 1 pound of silver and instructed to do business with it while their master was away being made king. When the new king returned, he discovered that 2 of his servants were obedient in their task, working hard to increase the money with which they had been entrusted. And upon seeing this, the king rewarded them by granting them new and greater responsibility. The third servant, however, he didn't even try. He had all kinds of excuses about why he refused to act. And he implied to the king that the king was already powerful enough to not need any help or additional wealth that the servant might have earned for him. Verse 26 says, I tell you, to all those who have, more will be given. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. I don't know about you, but when I first read that, it sounded kind of harsh. And I didn't really know what to make of it. But here is the interpretation that I have found. We're all given gifts, great or small. We all have something, and we are each to use that something in our own unique ways for the glory of God. And turning to God and trusting in those good gifts He's given us opens us up to the opportunity to receive so much more. But if we believe we have nothing, we can choose to hide ourselves and to stay as we are, believing He will keep us safe from pain, failure, disappointment, and so on. But what we don't realize is that all the while we're hiding, our nothingness continues to grow. This is not the personal life story I wanted to share with you today, but it turned out to be the one I needed to share. You see, I am a perfectionist, and I have a very bad tendency to be unkind to myself when I feel like I can't measure up to the unreasonably high standards I have set for myself. But what I've learned from Jesus' parable is that God doesn't care about my success rate. That isn't what matters. All that matters is that I move, that I make an effort. And this is also where the third sermon missed the mark. The king didn't care about the money. That was never the point. And I'm going to quote from one online source that I read. And that quote says, "The great power of the master should have inspired the servant to greater diligence, not to disobedience and laziness." Let me remind you of what I said earlier. I was grieving. I was not in a good place. And so I prayed to God to help Him, to help me reconnect with Him. And He didn't fill me with feelings of a warm, fuzzy hug. And He didn't take my pain away like a shot of morphine. He did not respond in the way that I wanted Him to. What He did do for me was to challenge me to step outside of my comfort zone and empowered me with the strength to stand up here and be vulnerable. You see, some people might look at me and think, "She's tiny, she's soft-spoken, she's shy, she has a disability. Why would anyone pick her? Why would anyone listen to her?" And I believe that sometimes. But the truth is that the Bible is filled with stories of unlikely people being raised up by God and called to to do amazing things. And so I believe that it's our love and our awe of the Lord that energizes us to put our gifts to work. And we may not think that we're special. We may not think that we have anything. And we may not succeed. But the important thing is that we do our best and we try. Because God knows what's in our hearts. And the reality is that our good works are not for God. They're His good works done through us, for us, and for one another. And so, as you go about the rest of your day and start your week, I would like to encourage you to reflect and to consider if God might be calling you to anything. And if so, what fears or doubts might be holding you back? What gifts do you have, and how can you use them to grow deeper in your own faith? Amen.